Hallelujah. Are you blessed to be here tonight or this morning? So we are going to zoom into prayer. But before then, you know this is a word-based church. You have to hear something from the word of God. And last week I began to speak about, please, if you know you are going to fall asleep, it's better you rise up on your feet, because what I'm going to share is a very important thing that will save you and save you good. Last week I began to establish spiritual intelligence. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that there is IQ and there is SQ. There are people who have intelligence from this natural realm. But intelligence from this natural realm can be very limited, because I explained to you last week principles about the Christian life, and we said that number one, life is spiritual. And the reason why we said life is spiritual is because the spiritual realm is higher than the natural realm. Number two, the spiritual realm created or birthed the natural realm. Number three, the spiritual realm controls the natural realm. So based on these three realities, we need to understand that when a man operates only from the natural realm, a man who functions in the spiritual realm will control his life, because he operates from a higher plane. The reason why juju men and all kinds of occultic people are able to exert upon Christians is because though they were born of the spirit, they walk in the flesh. Though they were born of the spirit, the life they live does not go beyond this natural realm, and which is why they are failures and they are easy to catch in the hands of the enemy. We also said that we are in a spiritual battle that every Christian must be conscious of. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, it says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of Christ, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So the Bible tells us that for our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this age, and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realms. Which means the fight we are engaging in is not with human beings, but with persons without bodies. That is what Living Bible said. So our battle is with persons without bodies, which means our intelligence must transcend this earthly realm if we want to dominate. We will need a knowledge that does not come from UPSA. We need a knowledge that does not come from Legon. We need a knowledge that comes from the heavenly realms, so we can walk in the life of the spirit and be on top of our game. So last week we began to speak about spiritual knowledge. And with a spiritual knowledge, it's a supernatural intelligence which comes intuitively to the believer, which makes him function in a situation. Every child of God needs spiritual knowledge. It's a knowledge that is out of the natural. And we began to look at various aspects of spiritual knowledge in the scriptures. And we said one aspect of spiritual knowledge is the knowledge of the word of God. Because Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So the word of God carries a spirit in it. When a believer functions in the intelligence of the word of God, that believer operates in another realm. I'm teaching you here. So now listen to me carefully. A lot of times, many Christians ask a very important question, and I don't blame you. They said, if Jesus has finished the work, if Jesus has defeated Satan, If Jesus has given us a name that is above every name, that at the name Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things on earth, and of things beneath the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father, why is it that the name of Jesus is ineffective in my lips? Christians are asking a very important question. They are like, if Jesus defeated demons, why are demons defeating me? The Bible says you shall lay hands on the sick and doctors are laying hands on me. The Bible says you shall cast out devils in my name, and it seems devils are lingering in my life. Why is it that my life is not consistent with the finished work of Christ if the Holy Ghost lives in me? Can I shock you today? Now hear me carefully. Every reality about what God wants to do in your life is already resident in your spirit. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 from the verse 3, he says, as his divine power, pay attention, has given to us all things that pertains to life and godliness according to the knowledge of him that has called us by glory and virtue. His divine power has given us everything. So God's power through the Holy Ghost has provided everything in the person of Jesus, functioning in the work of the Holy Ghost in us. So if everything has been given and lives in my spirit, why am I not functioning in it? Hear me carefully. If someone transfers 100,000 Ghana cedis into your account, it belongs to you, but you have not cashed out yet. Transfer of money is not the same as cashing out of money. That is the mistake of Christians. When you got born again, God transferred spiritual wealth. And when the Holy Ghost came to live in you, that was the transfer. The Holy Ghost in you is God's transfer. Everything God wants to will, he transferred it in the person of the Holy Ghost. But listen to me. If your 100,000 dropped on your Momo or on your bank alert and you go to the banking hall, you don't just enter the bank and say, give me my money. The security will walk you out. You know why? Because there are systems, there are structures, there are things that needs to be implemented for you to cash out. One of them is to go out and pick a form. Fill the form. Write your bank account number. All these things in the New Testament is actually called faith. So, by writing your account number and details with your name, you now present it to a cashier, and the cashier will confirm how much is in your account. If it is true, because you have signed and given authorization, they cash out the money and they give the money to you before you go. Now, listen to me. If you just go and say, give me my money, they will sack you. Meanwhile, the money is in your account, just like you are breaking protocol. So listen to me. Healing was transferred into your spiritual bank. Prosperity was transferred into your spiritual bank. Increase was transferred into your spiritual bank. But hear me. There are structures God has set in place to cash out what is already in your account. Only those who are here responding. I don't understand those who are here. So hear me carefully. So just like there is a process of writing in your details and signing, likewise, there is a protocol system God has put in place to cash out what is already yours. One of them is fasting and prayer. One of them is studying the word of God and building your faith. Because faith is one of the only means by which you can cash out what is already yours. Sacrifices and offerings is another system. Faith is another system. So hear me carefully. If you are not operating from those systems God has put in place, and hear me, all night is one of the systems. That is why, listen to me, while others are sleeping, you are here. Do you think it's an easy thing? Now, listen, can I really ask you a genuine question? Now, It is better to be here and sleep than to be at home and sleep, because these two sleeps are not the same. One is sleeping in the Lord. I was telling believers at that time, if you put two bowls of rice, now that doesn't legalize you to sleep. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. If you put two bowls of rice with stew on it, and you pray on one, and you don't pray on the other, it is not the same rice you are eating. One is anointed rice, but not anwamo. I'm teaching you here. It's not the same rice. You know why? Because one has the presence of God saturated in it. Likewise, it's the same. So, no two sleeps are the same if one is in the Lord. So I tell people that, listen, in as much as you can, your children can come for all night meetings and church services. They may not pray. They may not declare. But just they running about, they may come through an encounter with an angel. And that encounter alone is intelligence and wisdom. I'm teaching good here. So they can interact with the anointing. They can interface with the glory of God. And soon and enough, something will begin to shift in their lives. So listen to me. These things you are doing are highly spiritual. So what you are doing tonight is a means you have put in place to cash out. Tonight, this morning, you are cashing out everything that belongs to you. Your finances is cashing out now. Your healing is cashing out. Your marriage is cashing out. Your glory is cashing out. Shout and say, I am cashing out. Cash out. I'm cashing out. Is someone cashing something from here? Please pay attention, it will change your life. So when we spend time in prayer, what we are doing is that we know what we already have in Christ, but now we are putting in the mechanism to withdraw it, to make a reality what is in our spirit, to permeate from our spirit, from our souls, into our body until we see it materially. That is all what we are doing. So when you are fasting and praying, you are only making yourself or placing yourself under a position so that the glory of God can flourish in your life. That's what we are doing, what we are doing. Listen to me. Have you noticed that precious things are not easily found? If you want to dig gold, we don't use cutlass. Meanwhile, cutlass and hoe is a digging material. For you to dig gold, you will need excavators, highly expensive machines that can drill to be able to discover the gold. Listen, precious things require expensive prices. So listen to me. If you want to dig gold out of God, then you will need expensive materials. One of them is the time you are spending. Time is a commodity. Time is a currency in the spirit. So the time you are spending in the all night is actually your currency in using the equipment to dig out what belongs to you. Diamonds are not cheap materials. And listen, this is what the church does not understand. Hear me. God makes available things for us based on three realities. Please listen to me carefully. Before God will put anything meaningful, anything precious in your hands, it is based on three realities. Hear me carefully. Number one, God gives us things by grace. God gives us things by what? The church is dead. He gives us things by what? Yes. Please, if someone is sleeping, tell the person you left home not to come and sleep. So wake the person up. It doesn't matter whether you are tired or not. Once you are here, you can't sleep. Hear me carefully. God gives us things, number one, by
By grace, which means there are things he gives to us based on his love, his mercy, his kindness, his benevolence, his unconditional love. So he will make it available to you. You didn't pray for it before you realized it was happening. You didn't fast, it was happening. That is where a lot of people are deceived. That, if I didn't fast and the thing is operating. In fact, I just woke up from a nice lady and the thing is still operating. You may be deceived. Hear me carefully. But if God gives you everything by his grace, you will be a spoiled child. If God gives you everything by grace, you will be a spoiled child. And God does not want to raise spoiled children. Hear me carefully. You check a child you give birth to. Everything he requires, you give it to the child. Your child is asking for a toy, you buy. He's asking for Spider-Man jersey, you buy. He's asking for C. Ronaldo, you buy. He's asking for football, you buy. He's asking for generator, you buy. What is soon going to happen to the child is that the same thing you are buying for the child will be the reason the child will fail. The tablet you are buying for the child without control, that same thing that came to the child by grace will be the reason why the child will become a vagabond. So listen to me. There is an extent to which God gives us things by grace. I'm teaching mature people here. The second platform upon which God gives us things is that he gives us things by capacity. Let me have someone's son who is around 4 or 5 years or 6 years. Can I borrow someone's son or daughter? They are all asleep. Wake one up. The child said, I won't come. If any of the children are awake, I want to use one of them for a scenario. And of course, it's not for free. The child will receive something spiritual. She has come. Hallelujah. How are you? Now, watch this girl. Now, carry this one for me. Carry it. Now, have you realized it was easy for her to carry it? You know why? Because it's lightweight. Right? Her capacity can handle it. Right? But if I put this monitor on this child's head, what will happen? Child abuse. I may end up in prison. Please, are you following what I'm teaching? It's a serious matter here. So, what happens is that I don't have a problem giving this girl this thing. My problem is that she does not have the capacity to handle it. Thank you, sweetheart. You will preach the word of God. So hear me carefully. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:10, if thou fainted in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So which means adversity comes to prove what manner of man you are. Adversity only comes to prove the capacity you have built. Now you see, the strength of a building can only be proved by the wind and the storms. So some of you, the storms you are going through, the reason why it is overwhelming you is simply because the capacity to handle the storm was not built. Hear me carefully. Hear me. God does not always give you what you want. He gives you what you can carry. Some of you are asking for things that when God looks at your current capacity, you only pray for 5 minutes. You fast from 6 to 10 a.m. You read only one verse of the Bible for the week. I'm teaching good here. So hear me. We said number two, God gives you things on the platform of what? Capacity. Now, can I give an example? David was in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, he was building capacity. He learned how to kill a lion. He learned how to kill a bear. When Goliath came, he was not surprised. You know why? Because he built enough capacity. If he can kill a lion and a bear, a giant is not a problem. Please, are you getting what I'm saying? So Goliath was not a surprise. David prepared and built capacity to be able to handle it. So when Goliath came, he remembered that the capacity he built in killing a lion and a bear is the same capacity he will use to destroy Goliath. Joseph built capacity in Potiphar's house. He built what kind of capacity? The capacity of self-control. So when Potiphar, listen, if Joseph slept with Potiphar's wife, he would have slept with Pharaoh's wife. You see, there are some of you here, the things God wants to do for you. In fact, if Joseph successfully slept with Potiphar's wife, he would have been a successful head of Potiphar's house. And he would have thought that that was what God had for him. He would have been happy. But in fact, God wanted to give him the whole of Egypt. There are some of you who are going, you who are taking certain things in your life for granted, forgetting that you are supposed to be the wife of a pastor. You have already slept with 10 men already. Some of you, your womb is supposed to conceive a man of God, and you keep doing abortions. The day you lose your womb, the plan of God will be forfeited, and God has to look for another virgin. When the parable of the talents was made, the Bible says he gave them talents according to their several abilities, which means their several capacities. Hear me carefully. Spend 1 hour in prayer every day. Spend 2 hours when you get the time. Spend 30 minutes when you get the time. Read 2 chapters of the Bible when you get the time. We call it discipline. The more you are disciplining yourself in spiritual matters, you are enlarging. The day God is ready to hand over, you have enough strength to carry it. Build your self-control. Because you may be put into an employment where you are surrounded with more than 15 women. If you don't build your capacity in the area of money, you see that you are not, you don't have capacity to handle 500 Ghana cedis. When you see 500, when you say, the day you see 5,000 Ghana, you steal it. You know, that is how come God has been testing us in process. You were never faithful with 500 Ghana salary with your tithe. 50 Ghana was hard. Are you now coming to give a tithe of 5,000 Ghana cedis? No, you couldn't give when you had 500. You can't give when you have 5,000. It will be more difficult for you. That is the problem. Capacity. Number 3. God gives us things on the basis of faithfulness. You see, these are things the church has not understood. We are just saying that God has given us everything by His grace. Go and read your Bible again. He does not give everything by grace. He gives some things by capacity, and He gives others by faithfulness. Listen to me. If you are faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. So God will hand over great authority for you when you are faithful with the least He is giving to you. If I'm not able to handle this number of people who are here, and I'm ungrateful that God, we started all night, we are supposed to have a full house, why is the place not full? God, what is happening? I'm always praying, but we are not seeing results. God, how can you give me these people? What is happening is that you are getting ungrateful, and because you're ungrateful, you'll be unfaithful. Too many believers are operating from the realm of unfaithfulness. You know why? Because they've allowed jealousy and envy to destroy them. God opened my eyes into something, man of God, and I was shocked that it was in the Bible. Do you know that the brothers of Joseph envied Joseph because he had a dream? He saw that one star was being worshipped by 11 stars. They were so envious of that one star that they forgot that they were stars. And God shocked me here. God shocked me. God shocked me. They didn't know their future. That is why they envied. In the book of Genesis 49, Jacob called all his sons and began to predict their future. When he came to Judah, he said to Judah, he says that the scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes. Joseph was only a prime minister. Judah carried the Messiah and bet him. Who was greater, Joseph or Judah? But they were envious of their brother. Levi was actually the pastor in charge of the church. It is out of Levi the priests were coming. They were envying Joseph, who was only a prime minister, forgetting that all priests will come from the wombs of Levi. You are envying people for nothing. You are jealous for nothing. If you know your future, if you have a picture of your future, when you see others progressing, you will not be worried because you know God is timing you. God is taking you through a process. God is building you. He has a plan for your life. The fact that things are not working does not mean he has forgotten you. The fact that things are not working does not mean that God does not have a plan for you. God has a plan for you. Issachar wouldn't have envied Joseph because Issachar was gifted with understanding the times and the seasons. Before they went for war, they had to inquire from Issachar. Before they took a major decision, they had to inquire from Issachar. Dan, he says, a troop shall overcome you. But he says something. He says, if you what? At last, you will overcome. That means that God had the overcoming anointing, which means no matter how down God is, he will come out again. Which means he had the grace to come out of big situations. He shouldn't have envied Joseph. The tribe of Benjamin were good in war. Most of them were left-handed people. When they are holding Okotai and they swing it, no matter where you are, it will locate your head. So they were skillful in war. So obiang ni diye. Different abilities. So listen to me. What you are supposed to be doing is to be faithful with what God has given to you. Listen to me. With God, there is nothing like little. We see little. He doesn't see little. You may pastor a congregation of 50 members. To God, you are a mighty man. A man may pastor 5,000 people, but God never discovered him. Hear me. If you are in the wrong direction, speed is not an advantage. So there are people who are on the road going speed. They are supposed to be on Tamale Road, but they're on Kumasi Road. At that time, speed is not an advantage for them. So there are people, oh my goodness, can you imagine? There are people you are envying, meanwhile they are in the wrong direction. Can you imagine if you were envying Jonah? He was supposed to be in Nineveh. He was in Tarshish. So imagine he was breaking through in Tarshish and you were envying him. My beloved brother, my sister, be faithful with what God has given to you. Musicians, be faithful. There are some musicians, when they hold the microphone, their voice is like Angel Gabriel. Their voice itself is... It's a sound from heaven. And then maybe yours, God has given you. Oh, that's the voice God has given to you. Now because you saw this guy with. Now you change your voice to. Lift up your voice. Bro. Leave the mic. Leave the mic. When I caught this secret, I never envied any pastor, no matter what they have. I move one step at a time. God, am I on the path? He says, yes, keep moving. It may be slow, but it's still a progress. You may not hate, but you're making progress. Let me tell you, at the end of the day, what matters is our relationship with God. If you are doing exploits, you are raising the dead, you are doing great works for God, and your relationship with God is broken, I am telling you, you are not that important. Do you know at the end of the day, in the book of Matthew chapter 7, he says, Lord, did we not cast out devils in your name? Did we not work miracles in your name? And Jesus says, I never knew you. So people are on the path where they are disappearing from the radar of God, and people are clapping for them. Hear me carefully. Whichever area you find yourself in, be faithful there. Because in your faithfulness, God will start giving you things. Because it is in faithfulness God can trust you. And if God can trust you, He can entrust you. Never forget what I just shared with you. Number one, God gives us things by what? Grace. Number two, He gives us things by capacity. Number three, He gives us things by faithfulness. Spiritual knowledge. Hear me carefully. There are four things, four habits that weakens a spiritual man. Number one is wine and intoxication. Number two is oversleeping. Number three is food. And number four is immorality. These are the four things that weakens a man spiritually. If you have noticed, these are the very four things Satan is amplifying today, everywhere on the market, everywhere on social media. And Christians don't know this. In the book of Proverbs chapter 31 from the verse 1 to 6, Solomon's mother gave him a prophecy. Solomon did not listen. Look, he says the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So his mother taught him prophecy. Observe the prophecy. He says, what my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows. Next verse. He says, give not thy strength to women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. That means there is a way that destroys kings. Remember, the believer is a king and a priest unto God. Look at the next verse. He says, it is not for kings, that is you, the believer, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Next verse. Lest they drink and forget the law. Have you seen when a man is intoxicated, the next thing that comes into his mind is women? He has no restriction over his life anymore. He says, forget the law and perfect the judgment of any of the afflicted. Look at the verse 6. He says, give strong drink unto him that is what? Ready to perish. Strong drink is given to those who are on their journey for perishing. That's a prophecy. Proverbs 23, the verse 20 and 21. He says, be not among wine bibbers, among routers, eaters of flesh. That's meat. For the drunkard and the glutton, shall come to poverty, that is here in context spiritual poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hear me carefully. If you are a believer who loves food, you can't serve God faithfully. Philippians 3:19, the Bible says that their belly is their God. I was shocked this is in the Bible, though. Philippians 3:19. He says, whose end is destruction? Whose God is their belly? So there are people who worship their stomach. We hail you. We worship you. Watch it. We hail you, belly. Cocoa and both flute. We hail you, jollof. We what? We worship you, bees and cocoa. He says that whose belly is their God? Look, look, look. And whose glory is in their shame? Who mind earthly things? The more food you eat uncontrollably, you begin to mind earthly things. Have you noticed that when you are fully full, you fool? Have you noticed? No, it's amazing why, number one, God tells us to have self-control. Self-control is not only sexual. Self-control is also food. Umenda. Every angle. Listen, that is how come every believer, you must give yourself days of fasting. Because listen, if you practice the habit of eating. Now, listen to me. There are people who have genuine medical condition and they cannot fast. But those people also don't have the right to be overeating. So that's the context. So you can be on a very light fast, which is very, we call it Daniel fast. You can be of vegetables. Please, am I teaching good here? Listen to me carefully. Yo. The more intake of food, the more you lose your spirituality. The more you lose it. Discipline yourself that even if the church is not fasting, at least twice a week, you will fast from 6 to 4. It will change something about your life. The first man fell because of food. His name is Adam. Jacob and Esau, there was an exchange because of food. In fact, on the day of temptation, Jesus was also tempted with food. That's the power of food. Food is powerful. Food is powerful. That's how come he has the ability to weaken spiritual men. Wine! Immorality. The church is in trouble. Someone sent me a message today. And I saw the level at which the church has corrupted. And I was like, how can the church win when we are with the world? A man gets married to his wife less than a month. He goes to bring his kid brother who is getting prepared for university to Accra to come and stay with them. He came back from work to surprise his wife with a golden necklace. And he saw his kid brother sleeping with his wife. Some of these is when we hear them, we want to vomit. A lot of young men don't live long. You know why? Because there's a curse upon their lives. No matter what, never date a married man. No matter what, never date a married woman. It is the dangerous thing you can ever do in your life. When you are dating a man and he told you that I am married but I'm having problems, tell him now, hold on, remove your slippers and run. It is a curse. I'm teaching you, I'm giving you spiritual intelligence. It's a curse. Because you came in between a covenant. You don't understand. You will fall into an unbreakable curse and your entire generation will pay for it. There's a young man, his job is to sleep with married women for money. He has houses, he has cars. He sleeps with them for money. You know the problem? This guy will die and his children will suffer. What is car? Let me shock you about something on spiritual intelligence. Satan operates through a medium called exchange. Write that down. Satan operates through a strategy of exchange. And I'll shock you today. Don't forget that. I'm going to talk about it. Hear me. Any habit that you are battling with, which you don't trust God to deal with that habit, it will soon become an inheritance your children will pick up from you. Hear me carefully. If you are a man and you are cheating on your wife, your children will grow up, the man will cheat on his wife. If you are a woman, you are sleeping with all kinds of men, your children will grow. You will not need to teach them. They will do the same thing. Any addiction or habit you don't deal with through the help of the Lord, it will soon become hereditary. It will enter your blood. Your children will reproduce that same version of yourself without you teaching them. This one, it came from the Holy Ghost. It came from the Holy Ghost. So you have to battle it with fasting and prayer. Lord, I don't like this habit. I don't like this masturbation. I don't like this pornography. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I trust you for help and strength. I don't know why I'm cheating. I don't understand. Lord, help me to break this power controlling my life. When you do that and God helps you, you have saved a generation. I said Satan operates with a medium called what? Exchange. Hear me carefully. The first time we saw this strategy of Satan was in the garden. Satan is a very good bargainer. He will use small things to exchange for big things. He used a single fruit to exchange man's authority. Just one bite. Authority exchanged. Jacob and Esau. Esau had the right of the firstborn and a blessing. Do you know how Esau, Jacob took it? Through a morsel of bread. You know what many believers are doing? They are exchanging small things with big things. Satan will only use 1 5-minute sex to rob you of an eternal inheritance that will bless many generations. That's what Satan is. That's what Satan does. Anytime you are having a temptation, Satan is bargaining with you for something. You have to name your price. You have the right to tell him, I am priceless. You can't buy me with this bed. You can't buy me with this woman. You can't buy me with this money. You have the choice. Every temptation is a bargaining tool from darkness. So Satan exchanges only for being stew. Esau gave his birthright and blessing. Can I shock you? In the order of the Bible, it was supposed to be the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Esau. When he sold his birthright for a morsel of bread, it became the God of Jacob. It has been over 4,000 years. We still remember it. Esau's name was bloated. just food. What the Bible is teaching us about Jacob and Esau is that many Christians have traded temporal things for eternal things. Some of you traded 5,000 Ghana cedis from one old man with a pot belly with your destiny. You know, when you preach like this, people don't like it. But this is the message that will save a generation. Because a lot of youth are confused. They don't know what they are dealing with. They don't know that decision is about to rob them. So he operates by exchange. In fact, Satan wanted to exchange something from Jesus during the temptation. He tried it several times. He couldn't. It was an exchange. It was an exchange. It was an exchange. Listen to me. You need spiritual intelligence badly. I shared with the church the last time that there are five propensities that gives way for demonic manipulation. Which means you can be a child of God. But if any of these propensities are operating in your life, you are opening a door for Satan to manipulate your life. Number one is lust. Everybody has lust problem. The challenge is how to tame it. Because as long as Jesus tarries, you will have lackings within you that will come up. I was telling one of my sons that when you are married, that is when temptation to sin sexually is higher. Because you are sexually active. You know, when you are not married, because you don't fire for some time, the drive and everything is on hibernation. But when you keep firing, what happens is that your drive for sex increases. So married men are more tempted to sin than unmarried men. I'm teaching good here. Lust is the first propensity. When Satan discovers lust around you, and hear me, you know, there's a lust that comes by accident and a lust that comes by intention. There's a lust that looks for you and a lust you look for. The first lust that looks for you, you didn't plan to be on social media. Before you realized, the thing came to look for you. And you saw the one with the ties, like this, like that, like this, like that. It was on reels. The thing came like that. You said, Jesus! And you just scrolled it, and the Lord saved you. But there's one you look for. It's on Netflix. It's a season movie, and the title is Spartacus. That one, you are the one clicking it. You knew where. Do you know there are people who know what will happen? How can you go and have a prayer meeting with a lady alone? You see, let me tell you, Satan operates by the principle of programming. Tell somebody, Satan operates by the principle of programming. I was talking to one of my sons. He said he was there and last caught him. The moment the last caught him, a lady called him that same morning. In fact, at dawn, 5 a.m. And the lady said, Pastor, please, I just wanted to come and visit you and know where you stay. 5:30. And she should suffer 5:30. We call it programming. The moment he woke up from the last, he had a missed call. If you don't have spiritual intelligence, you just say, oh, why, is it an emergency? He say, yes, Pastor, it's an emergency. I had a terrible dream. I want to come and tell you at home. And you, nah, you are not strong. Fasting, won't you be? And the lady comes and says, Pastor, my boyfriend has left me. If you don't help me, I will die. This is rat poison. Pastor, I want to drink it and die. He says, no, you can't do that. Pastor, I've made up my mind. If you don't hug me, I'll drink it. No, no, no. I want to save her. I want to save her. precious. Please don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Pastor, no. He didn't know what I went through. Pastor, no. No. Let me die. Let me die. Wow. When you held there, you knew that there was resurrection. Ah, yeah, Gabo Dosho. Some of me came one way, but two of me says here, but two of me says here. The Lord is speaking to you, I'm telling you. Last! Hear me carefully. You see, don't tell me I didn't tell you. Every last, the reason why you can handle it is because it has a process. It begins from the mind. If you don't handle it from the mind, it enters into your emotions. You begin to feel for the thing. If you don't handle it at emotion, it gets into your will. You have no control now. So once the thought happens, delete it. Once the thought happens, fight it. Once the thought happens, use the word of God to overcome it. Because if you don't win in the mind, you don't win in the real life. Teaching good here. The second propensity is anger. If Satan wants to control your life, he will make sure he gets you angry. If you are here, you are quick-tempered. You are on your journey to destruction. Control your temper when you are angry. There's a man, many years ago, he's called Jack Api. He was in Trotro, and then the Trotro mate was supposed to give him 50 pesos, and there was an argument. Argument, what happened? You know what? He shot him. He had a gun. And the guy died in a Trotro. He was sentenced to life imprisonment. Anger. 50 pesos. Listen to me. You have to learn. Listen to me. See, quick temperedness is a disease. You have to control yourself. I'm telling you, no matter how angry you are, control it. Hold yourself, because Satan is setting a trap for you in anger. Sometimes you hear something. Don't quickly take action. It's not everything we quickly react. Hear the other side. Sometimes hold yourself. You want to slap. You want to punch, but hold it. But look at a person's face. Hold yourself. Because you may hear another side of the story and you'll be ashamed. The third propensity for demonic manipulation is greed. Greed. This thing called greed. They are just already prophesying the thing. Super bed. An aviator. What's the time? That's good. We'll be praying very soon. You put in 100 cedis and you want 1,000. Cash out and go. But the devil will tell you there is hope for your future. Then you invest the 1,000 and again. That's how the thing is. Before you realize, the 1,000 is going, shoo, then you're like, I said, unya stroke. I said, oh, unya stroke. You want to redeem yourself. You want to redeem yourself. Then you go and borrow 1,000 Ghana cedis. Then you put it inside. Shame, neko. You want to die. Then you borrow another 1,000 Ghana cedis. You put it inside. Then the plane will take it away. Shoo. Just like that. You see, that's how you die without knowing you. A lot of heart attacks. It's aviator that is killing the young boys and girls. Even girls do aviator. I didn't know. Superbet or Bambet Rangi, he knows all the players on the field. Chelsea, Manchester, no Ashishe. I'm telling you. Obo hockey, obo bi a tennis ball, bi a betty. Greed. There are young ladies who want to be rich in one day. So they sleep with men in shift. Takes 2,000 here, 10,000 here, 5,000 here, 20,000 here. She wants to buy a land before the end of the year. A quick money. Quick money is dangerous. Oh. Quick money. It has produced greed in so many people, and they want to be rich in one day. Listen to me. Take your time. There's time for everybody. Huh? No matter how much lands people are buying, there's still a land for you. No matter the cars being driven, the roads still have space for you. I'm telling you, it's just a matter of time. It's a process. But once you want to truncate the process, you want to be a rich man in a day. So you cheat people, you steal from people, you are just greedy for money. I've seen a lot of rich, greedy people. It's all about them. It's all about them. Hear me carefully. That is not the word of the Lord. Once you walk in that operation, Satan can use you as a tool to destroy. Listen, I'm teaching you spiritual intelligence. One of the intelligence you must understand is the power of words. Some of you actually use your mouth to destroy your children. Do you know what it did? You use parental authority to bring limitation upon your children. Because once you call your child foolish, he'll be foolish. This is spiritual intelligence. Sometimes whip your children in the Lord. Tell them, hey, shum, president of Ghana. Shum. And he's crying. Shum, prophet one. No, I'm serious. So never insult your children, because every insult is a word. Olu, Bulu, Bulu. There's a woman at next house every day insulting the children. Today, before I came, fuck you. I see that woman can speak English, insulting the children every. Damn you! I said this woman will kill the children. Oh, the children will become weed smokers. I'm telling you. Listen, before my son goes out every day to school, I call him to my prayer room. I anoint him with oil and I give him communion wine every day. Because life is spiritual. We don't know the teacher and the people feeding your children. You don't know who is feeding your children. And they just go to school, they come back. They go to school, they come back. You don't know that one. You see, let me tell you, it's the way you train your children. That's not how every parent trains their children. As your children go to school, there are people who are careless with their children. There are some they leave pornography on at midnight, and their children will wake up and they're watching. So by the time the child is 4 years, he knows things that 4 years people are not supposed to know. And this child is sitting beside your child. If you don't pray, the child will be doing like this. You don't know. That's his new dance. Where did you learn it? Where did you learn it? There's a man sitting beside me. His name is called Emmanuel. He's the one teaching me. Your words. Tell somebody your words are powerful. So you need spiritual intelligence on your words. Speak in tongues for 1 minute. Come on, lift your voice and pray in the Holy Ghost. Shalemanga sofala deso pele digan sofala tasta shavele bakofrom bro bro bigila sofala banda sakaya kofela boboko mvro sofala braba bashekente bila hile manongo framba sofala da sekendi zivakaya. I enter the courts of heaven. Rise up on your feet. I join the angels' cry. I enter the courts of heaven. Where's Minister Philip?
I join the angels cry.
Lift your hands and begin to bless the Lord. Lead us through worship.
The cause of heaven.
Lift up your hands before we pray.
The angels cry.
It's okay. Lift up your hands. We want to go through a moment of worship for 5 minutes, and then we zoom.